Yes.
Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Andrew Shatkin Blog Talk Radio Show on every evening, weekends, weekday, usually at 8, sometimes 6:30, sometimes 9:30, sometimes 11. And I'm going to be talking about what I have an MDiv from Princeton Theological Seminary, and I have a great this show focuses on three main areas of thought: biblical revelation and theology. I have an MDiv in biblical languages from Princeton Theological Seminary, and I've served in the church as a pastor. I also I'm very committed to the Christian faith in my life. It's the point of contact in my thinking. I also this show concerns with literary material, the great authors of the past, English, Russian, French, etc. And it also concerns itself with politics and current events. I tend to be conservative, but I must say that I adhere in following Christ and his concern for poverty and the poor. And I think Jesus wants an equalization of wealth as much as possible. I don't think he wants people poor. So this show is a politically incorrect show. Namely, we're not in for political hype, political rhetoric, left-wing lies, or right-wing lies. We're not concerned with that. We're concerned with critical thinking, getting at the truth, and getting at the facts as much as possible. That is really what this show is about. It is politically incorrect. We're not here for media lies or media falsehoods or political rhetoric. We're here to get at the truth and get at the facts as much as possible. That's the main point of contact in this show. It's politically incorrect, but truthfully correct as much as possible. And the truth is gained through Holy Scripture and through the great books of the past, which I'll go to in a later point in the show. And I also I'm a Christian. The second aspect of this show is I'm a Christian, and I follow all the Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And I also follow the creeds of the church: Athanasian, Apostles, and Nicene Creed. And if I read books, I read the great Christian books and Christian writers, particularly St. Paul. Not to read St. Paul is to be deprived, is to be in intellectual poverty, essentially. I read C.S. Lewis, I read T.S. Eliot. I read most things that I think are worthwhile: Aquinas, Augustine, if I can, Bonhoeffer, T.S. Eliot, John Milton. John Milton is one of my all-time favorites. He wrote this great epic poem known as Paradise Lost, in which he honed in on the cosmic event of the fall of man into sin. It's a great book, it's a great poem, and it is the lodestone of my life. And I wish I could read more and talk more about it, but I don't have time tonight. Another night I will talk more about Paradise Lost. And he wrote this when he was blind. It shows the power of his intellect. He wrote Paradise Regained when he was blind, which again shows the power of his intellect. And Samson Agonistes, he wrote also he was blind, which shows the power and strength of his thinking intellect. I run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. These shows have a widespread international audience. I have many visitors on these shows all over the world. I've had over 4,300 visitors from countries all over the world on my podcast show. I'm particularly pleased that my Muslim brothers and sisters visit this show. I welcome them. I welcome all faiths. I welcome all opinions. I welcome all views. The face of Jesus can be found in every religion and every person that you can think of. He is not discriminate. He does not discriminate. Jesus does not discriminate. He can be seen in the Muslim world. He can be seen in the Hindu world. He can be seen in the Buddhist world. He is seen everywhere because he is the Savior and Redeemer of all mankind, not any particular person or group. Now, I have to say that this Blog Talk Radio show, I'm pleased to say, one of my main customers is from Saudi Arabia, but in other places such as Bangladesh and India and England and Pakistan, etc., and Japan and Malaysia, etc. Almost every country of the world visits these shows, which are Christian orientation, but I say we welcome all views and all opinions and all thoughts. They're contributory. Jesus comes and visits us in every ethnic group, in every place, everywhere you can imagine. He can be found and worshipped. Next, I'd like to also tell you that I'm a writer, 10 books, Christian books and legal books. I've written essays in the Christian worldview, essays in faith, culture, politics, and philosophy. I've written two law books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2. I have written a book on the parables. The parables are the mind and words of Christ. They are precious to me. I can't stop reading them. There are 41 of them, and I analyzed them in my book on the parables, a personal commentary. I've just recently published a book on the Psalms. This book on the Psalms analyzes and takes a look at all 150 Psalms in terms of an analysis and meditation. And the book has sold well and throughout the world. And I'm happy to say that this book, I love the Psalms. They are John Donne, the great Anglican poet, said of the Psalms, they are the manna of the church. They are great lyric poetry. I read them in Hebrew in seminary. I have read them my entire life, and I can't stop reading them. They are stirring. They are spiritual food. Their greatness is beyond belief. If you haven't read the Psalm, and the amazing thing about the Psalm is they are effective in any translation. That is their literary greatness, that they can be found effectively communicating in any translation that you can find. I also I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I'm writing three books of my blogs, literary, philosophical, theological, and political blogs. Three books are coming out. One is completed. Two are in the process. And I am also planning a book on the book of Job, a very great book. And Job was an Edomite, not Jewish, but he's right there in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible. It's a great book. It's a wonderful book. I have read it, and I will read it again and again without cessation. By the way, I have to say that the present trend against print in books is bringing us down to darkness and ignorance. Books are available. They are great. Within books are everything you want to know or come to know. And the books that you should read, you can find them in Mortimer Adler's How to Read a Book, an exhaustive list. He starts with Herodotus, the Thucydides, Aristotle, and Plato, and ends with T.S. Eliot. These are all the great books that he lists. They are the greatest books. And my favorites are John Milton and Leo Tolstoy. Those are two of my favorite writers of all time. I also have written three journal articles, a journal article on criminal procedure in the Syracuse Law Review, which was brought by the United States Supreme Court, and the State Department. And also I have two academic articles, an Albanian scientific journal, which have been bought by the State Department. And all three of these articles have been bought by many, many, many universities throughout the world. And they are very, very popular and very, very, very read by many people. I also want to tell you that I'm preparing a book, another law book, on pretrial motions and hearings. It's a book that I think will be good. I enjoy writing because I think in print, that is how we ultimately communicate the basic compelling thoughts that are of value. Mortimer Adler said in How to Read a Book that images, which are the present vehicles of thought in our society, are drugs. I don't want to be drugged. I don't want to be made a fool of. I don't want to be told by some politician in an image on television what the facts are. They're not telling you the facts. They're telling you lies. That's why I don't look at images. I don't bother with them. They easily mislead us. And it is only in books, in in-depth print presentation, that we can come to know any kind of facts and truth. Tonight, I did write this book. I enjoyed writing it, The Parables of Jesus, A Personal Commentary. And tonight I'm going to talk about one of the most important parables that I can think of. It's short, but it's important. It's called The Parable of the Lost Drachma. It's found on page 89 and 90. The parable says, it's found in Luke 15, verses 8 to 10, in which our Lord says, "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is a very profound series of sentences. I'd like to read it again. "What woman having 10 coins, if she loses one coin, doesn't light a lamp and sweep the house to seek diligently until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost.' And so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is one of the finest examples of the message that Jesus seeks out and loves sinners who repent. The analogy is that Jesus says, what woman having 10 coins, if he loses one, doesn't sweep the house until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "I rejoice, I found the coin which I was lost." And Jesus is an analogy in this lost coin this woman sweeps the house for and celebrates with her friends when she has found it. Jesus tells us there is the same joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Repentance is very, very important to Christ. He wants people, the door to heaven, open to all men and women. And he wants everybody to have a chance and nobody to be excluded. Now, this woman who lost this one silver coin was probably very poor, very poor. And she, losing one coin, she looks all over her house for it until she finds it, and is so happy that she invites her friends and neighbors where she entertains them. So let's take a look at this. She loses one coin, very poor woman. She looks all over her house for it until she finds it, and is so happy in finding it that she invites her friends and neighbors where she entertains them. The point of the parable is clear. I think it's eminently clear that at the last judgment and at any time, there will be more joy over one sinner who has repented who had been lost to God. That's the key to understanding the sense of this parable. The point is that just as the woman is so happy finding this one coin and invites her friends over to celebrate, Jesus says in the same way that there is joy over the one sinner who has repented who had been lost. Jesus is telling us here of the valuation that he places on every single human being, regardless of his failings, the depths of his sins, and his degradation in life. Repentance covers all of that. The value that God in Christ attaches to every human being is so great that if the person who was morally lost in this life or might have failed in some way, if he repents, he is rescued, and there will be great joy. Joy is so great in this repentance and in this person gaining eternal life that God himself is surrounded by his angels who will share the great joy that one person formerly lost has been found. That's the key to this parable, that the idea is the value that is incalculable. That's really what this parable is saying. It is so great that if a person might have failed and sinned, if he repents, he is rescued. And the joy is so great in heaven and by God and God in Christ that God is surrounded by his angels to share the great joy that one formerly lost has been found. The key to this parable is that Jesus wants everyone to gain interest into heaven. He wants everyone to be with him, and the repentance is the key. He tells us here that the value that he places on every human being, regardless of their sins and failings, if they repent, they are rescuable. And the value he attaches is so great that even though the person has failed and lost his life, in some sense, nevertheless, if he repents, he is rescued, and there will be great joy. I think you should read this parable. It's well worth reading. It's found in Luke 15, 8 to 10, and it's also in my book on page 89. You'll find my analysis of the parable. I think it's a wonderful parable, which is very profound and deep in its, as it speaks to us and as it always spoken to me. And I read it and focus on it, I come to understand the depth of Christ's love for all humanity and every human being. It is so great that there is joy, eternal joy, before the angels if one sinner repents and can come to Christ and have eternal life. That's the key to this parable, and the parable is very, very great. I suggest you look at Luke 15, 8 to 10, and think about it. Thank you.